Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast. What to watch
on Point of View.
All right, he's in the building. It was a longish day.
Yeah.
Ne? And then someone said, well, at least Leroy is coming.
Can I tell you, I've had the same feeling. Like, at least I've got radio later. I can get through everything.
You could, yes. I've got radio later. Just feels better with Leroy being here.
You know?
So thank you for coming.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. It gives me life.
You, Chubatong, your selection was so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know which one I didn't think was so lovely,
yeah,
but
yeah.
your selection, bar one. But overall, I liked your selection.
You know, what was interesting was that I had to make a point to put in some of the things that, even though they're not, because I try and mix it up,
yes,
we give
always.
You things that are topical,
yes, sure.
something that are new,
sure.
but also ones that you are able to go to the office or to your friends the next day and be able to be knowledgeable about.
Yes.
Because we need to give you what's going on. And having to watch these, sometimes you sit back and you go, yeah. I don't know who this is for.
Yes.
But let's see what happens. Yeah. So I also enjoyed putting together the list this week. So
it was lovely. And it's a beautiful you were very broad.
Mm.
But it ambaton. Do you want to start with the Joburg Theatre?
Yes.
Let's do that. Matilda.
Yes, Matilda. So you know the old story of Matilda, and I think what's so interesting about the magic of theater, this is why I picked Matilda, because it really is about the magic of theater. I think when I was going through my week and a few things came up, and there are lots of things on my algorithm, on my social media networks, they were bringing a lot of like childlikeness. So there was this whole reel about kids sort of falling over, and it brought me such joy because, as you say, it was been a long day and even longer week.
Yes.
And what I love about Matilda is it's a story that's familiar. It's a story that we love. And I love how special effects happen on stage because you're really in them. You know, there's no sort of screen between you and what's happening. So it's at the Joburg Theatre. And really is about the story about a young girl who has a difficult existence between parents and school and finds love in a teacher who looks after her. And they really go through this enchanting tale about, you know, self-discovery, self-love, and also finding an ally, someone who will look after you. So it is at Joburg Theatre. It's running from the 10th of June all the way to July 27th.
Okay, let me get to my least favorite. Kings of Joburg.
Thank you very much. It's my least favorite too.
It really is my least favorite.
And just to show you,
it's really my least favorite.
Well,
I cannot express that enough.
I'll tell you this, because one, we've got Malik Yoga coming on board, so there is a different face coming in, and we always head to America when we want to bring some credibility or some spice.
It felt a little bit like a waste.
It's season 3 as well. I think it's gone through. Clint Brink is in it.
I think, so. Yeah. What are you thinking? I'm searching.
So here's the interesting thing.
I'm searching. Can I just say, The prisoners were probably my highlight.
Yeah,
they were the only ones who were really, really, really working there.
But also, I just find that we always chat about how when you're going to do a suspension of disbelief, right, you need to make sure you do it very well so that we buy into it.
Yeah, it was tricky.
And I think also
the idea, I think the concept is great.
Yes.
You know, in theory.
Yeah.
Hi. I can't
deliver season 1 and season 2 because
I struggle.
Season 1 and season 2 were the benchmark for me, because every time I watched it, I could not get over the fact that there was a mermaid somewhere. There were bullets that could, like, sort of, you know, turn corners.
And that's because the idea is great.
Yeah.
And then now, I don't know.
So I'm looking forward to Netflix doing what they do very well, because I think, as you say, the idea was there, the execution was sometimes a bit off. And I hope that with the backing from Netflix.
Let's be fair. What was wrong?
So I'll tell you, I think you can put as many A-grade actors in a production as you want.
Yes, because they really had a stellar cast, I must say. Like, they've got big names.
Yeah, well,
big names.
You know,
really?
Like Malik.
No, really big names, yeah. I must say, the names were,
but
number
now,
one.
So the question we have to ask really is, because you can, should you? because you can create a show, it doesn't mean you should. And I think we're also living on the nostalgia of the fact that Sean Ferguson was in the first two seasons, as we know, and he's since passed, and there's quite a big legacy element to Kings of Joburg because he was such an integral part.
Mm.
And if we just put that aside for a second, I couldn't understand what was going on because the first two seasons have been criticized. All you need to do is just Google Kings of Joburg and don't even put in the season number. You're going to get so much literature of people saying it's badly made, the plot is funny, you've got these special effects that have no direction. And people go, okay, so why do we need to do this again?
Can I ask, so really, so what went wrong? So was the money spent on the big names and too little on the storyline?
I think it's a historic issue. So the historic issue there is that there was never any substance to begin with.
And I mean this with all the
respect in the world, right?
But we
have to be quite clear about that. Kings of Joburg has never been accused of being a great production at any point.
Mm.
What we do now is we've got a wonderful PR run that's going. They had a beautiful event they had last week in Johannesburg for the premiere. And I know there's money behind it.
They did.
It was really, really beautiful.
And they do look gorgeous. And
absolutely.
And it's a beautiful guitaring. It's like Barbie.
Yeah.
You know how everybody throws all their weight behind it and their support is there. And to your point about Connie and Shauna's legacy, it was like this powerhouse thing. And probably it was working because of that.
Yeah.
That carried it.
Yeah.
And then we're here. It feels a little bit like it had to be made.
I believe it too. I believe that they had to make it because right now, from a production point of view, Ferguson Films is not doing anything that we have on screen currently. And I also think that with, you know, bringing people like Malik, and South Africans have this chronic thing that we... I don't know how many times Joe has come to the country and Kenny Lattimore has come to the country. And because what we do is we just recycle these people when they've, you know, suffered and are just doing nothing in the US, we bring them here. I have lots of love of Malik Yoba, of like New Undercover and everything else. But I couldn't get it. I don't understand why we needed him with his accent. I don't understand where we're going with him, the storyline. But I also thought it was a gimmick because, again, they've got a beautiful billboard on the N1. It looks absolutely amazing from a PR point of view. I just don't think it's going to do what it needs to do. However, what I will do is give it the season. So the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be very glued to the screens because I also want to find out if the writing has gotten better. I think the production actually, if we're going to be very blunt, is underestimating audiences. That, you know, putting an American face
will
give us some credibility.
People are going to, out of curiosity, at least go watch.
One or two. Yeah, the first two episodes, I know they definitely will. But this was what we said with the last Kings of Joburg. We all expect this to be huge. I mean, listen, the whole story premises around this King of Joburg now going to Cape Town to go try and figure out an empire, right? And it's also very illogical as how it goes out. Again, I don't know if the story needed to be made. Maybe as like made for TV, which is, you know, some argue that Netflix is. I just think with two bad seasons, the third season was never going to salvage it. And...
okay.
It remains to be seen.
Let's get over ourselves and leave it alone.
Yes.
Let's leave it alone. All right. Straw?
Okay, Straw. So I watched
this. You can see the order, Nick.
Yeah, I see you. I see you. I see you.
I'm glad.
So I watched.
Terry. Do I need to say Tyler Perry?
But can I tell you? Tyler? Because you know
Tyler.
I'm not a fan.
Maradi, give me kita Tyler, guys. And the drama, it's so drama. It is so, there's so much melodrama.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, and sometimes the idea, again, the idea.
Think plan.
And then he really goes into this, I don't know what that is.
You know what he did?
Hi.
You know, in fashion, we do a thing where we say, when you leave the house, right?
Aye.
Take off the last thing you put on.
Yes, okay. It's too much.
Yes. The last thing you put on.
You've got the perfect, it's exactly that.
Tyler took the
over the top.
Tyler,
authenticity, and then the credibility goes with it. And then it's like,
So I don't know what was the step too far for me. Was it what happens at the end? And I won't spoil it for our listeners. But I also think
everything is unbelievable.
Everything is superlative. Everything is superlative. Let me tell you what Tyler will do. Tyler will go, yeah, as in, you know what Tyler's idea of a good curry is, ne? How to make a curry really good. Add more chilies. Because I sat there watching, and I watched it with my partner, and we were sitting there and we were watching it. And,
hi, Tyler.
And my partner loves Tyler Perry movies, right? Yeah. And the story was there. It definitely has
that's
a great
that's my point. Like, really, just if you we were kind. The idea was good. It was not bad.
So we actually debated that. What he's done very well is cast a credible actress. Yeah,
she was great.
The cast was amazing as well. Tiana Taylor, who I found her acting a bit melodramatic, if you're being honest.
Yeah, but it's Tyler.
Exactly.
Who's
you know,
directing her.
It happens in two locations, really, primarily. It's also a little fantastical.
Very
fantastical. And there's also things that happen where...
they would never happen in real life.
Yeah, but I also appreciate that for he tried to at least get out of his comfort zone. You know, after the week I had, I think on Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, I was like, I understand the character of Janaya now. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, those days where everything happens all at the same time and it all collapses around you. And when you catch your breath, another thing goes wrong. Yeah. And it felt like I understood where it came from that. I understood where it came from just the fact that everyone is, you know, running 110 kilometers an hour and with lots of things happening. But in the same way that I always criticize him after doing the 6888 with Kerry Washington, I just found that this to be a story that if he reined it in, just maybe
just
two or
a little
three notches,
nyana, ne? It would be a beautiful, beautiful tale.
Absolutely. I think I love the relationship between the bank manager and Janaya.
They were a really good pair.
Lovely
good
pair.
Chemistry.
And they're also wonderful moments, right? Where I was like,
beautiful
oh,
chemistry.
You really could have played
they
them.
Could act. No, no, they can
and
action.
Then there was parts where you can tell they were workshopped. Aye. Like the manager of the store, the blow up. And I just felt like, yo, can this woman catch a break? So interestingly enough, Taraji shot this Acrimony while doing Empire. And she shot this
really?
In 5 days.
I heard it was done in 5 days.
I was surprised because
that's
from
Tyler Perry.
But from an acting point of view, she really came to the party.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed that you really get to see her as an actress and she really knows how to push the
envelope.
No,
she's fantastic.
Maybe with a bit more time, I think it can be refined a bit more. But I also think when you're the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, it's hard for you to edit yourself. You can't write the book and edit the book yourself and then publish the book. You need someone there in between to sort of give you the quality control. Mm. Look, it's on Netflix right now. It's interesting to watch. You won't be mad at watching it.
No, sometimes I think even though it's not meant to be funny, I think you'd laugh.
Yeah, because there are moments.
Because it's so outrageous.
Oh, and also because the internet is what it is. There's a wonderful meme of Taraji in the bank looking back, almost going, but why did you have to do that now? You know, so I've been using that week.
Yeah.
But it is on Netflix, and please watch it. It's called Straw.
Okay, so what's the next one for you?
Okay, I want us to do The Life of Chuck, and then we'll end off on a low note because... materialism is exactly that. So The Life of Chuck is interesting for me because you're watching a play, a movie happen in three acts, but we start with act three.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a little corrupted in how it happens. And the whole point of the movie is to show that even the most mundane of lives has extraordinary moments. Okay, so what we do is we find this gentleman, his name is Chuck, and he dies at 39. That's the whole story. He's dead at 39, and now we go back in time, understanding some of the occurrences that happened to him. Because 39, one is young, but when, you know, do you know you're going to pass? Is 39 young enough? But the interesting thing is we're seeing actually a very ordinary life. Person who's an accountant, who's sort of living his life backwards now as we go to see him as a young child. And as we start seeing the formative years and how some of the traumas that he experiences come together. But there's these wonderful moments. These wonderful moments that come through where you really enjoy that he again, in every life, there's always a story, right? And his is meant to be a boring life, but you start seeing where the extraordinary moments come because also it's attached to a calamity that happens at the end of his life. And so we start seeing what would look like my imagination if, you know, you're on your deathbed and your life is flashing before your eyes, in inverted commas. He's having an experience where he's seeing that as well. It's absolutely... I really enjoyed
it. Beautiful.
I really enjoyed it because I was like... I mean, I thought that I'd cry a bit more, but... I enjoyed also that the devices that were used was to just go, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if you know, when I die, will I have a similar experience? Mm. It's called The Life of Checkers in Theatres as of Tomorrow.
Okay,
so materialist, we're going to do this really quickly. So there's this lady called Lucy. She has a dating site where she hooks up people, and she's at the wedding of two of her clients who've come together after 20 months of dating, and now they're getting married. But the issue here is that she finds love of her own, and materialism. The materialist is all about how, as much as she's in the business of hooking people up with love, she herself actually follows the materialism because she finds a unicorn. Mm-hmm. A unicorn is a man who is straight.
Yes, it's a definition.
Yeah, straight, heterosexual, tall, handsome, for a good family.
Perfect.
And single. And she almost bungles that up. Let me tell you, you're going to be very annoyed because there is so many inconsistencies around how she as a character is. And it's frustrating to watch her develop and then de-develop, right?
Like, yes, yes.
You know, like it's like she's going backwards in development. But what I enjoyed about it was sort of the concept of what she has a very long monologue about how she categorizes what love is and the business of love. And in a world that we're living in where everything is accessorized, right? You can buy love on the internet now. It was interesting to see how we as a community, as a humanity, are now starting to interact with the whole business of actually hooking up and dating sites. So it is a brutal realism as far as love is concerned, but I also think if you relax a bit and not be worried too much about sort of the inconsistencies and the timelines, you'll really enjoy it. It's called Materialist. It's in theaters as of tomorrow.
Thanks, Leroy. See you next week.
See you next week.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.